Praise God. I remember when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, which was a long time ago, when I'd only been a believer for a short while, and God baptized me in His Holy Spirit, and then I spoke in tongues, and that I spoke in tongues a lot to begin with, but as the years went by, I spoke a bit less and a bit less. Every now and again, I would speak in tongues, and that would be great. Or if I was in a group, I might speak in tongues. But perhaps about 3 years ago or so, I listened to a message by a man called Kevin Zadai, and he was really promoting speaking in tongues, and he did a long teaching on it. And it just ignited something in my heart. I thought, I've got to take this up. And so I started to, and spent a long time, many hours, sometimes at night, just praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Because what it says is what it does, isn't it? That's exactly what happens, that it starts to build us up in the inner man, build us up, and starts to, and this praying, of course, we know it's the Spirit of God praying through us. And so therefore, what we are praying is in perfect alignment with the will of God. And He is speaking in us, into our own spirits, but also, of course, He starts to speak through us so that, and starts to bring us into our destiny. I just believe that speaking in tongues is a huge part, plays a huge part in bringing us into our destinies. So since that time, about whenever, three or more, I can't remember, I started to do that, and really, and I do believe I felt the benefit. And I do believe that our mornings, Tuesday, Thursday mornings, has promoted the work of God. Not me, nothing about me, but all that the Spirit of God is praying through all of the believers who come. And so we're beginning to move forward and move forward in that. So we praise God for that. This is a season where we're talking about the spiritual warfare. This is what we've been doing for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and so when I considered it, I remembered the Lord's words to me in early January when He said, "Fasting February." And now we're on the brink of fasting February. So I want to talk about fasting as part of our spiritual warfare. It's one of the tools. We know that we have the name of Jesus, and we're praying and we're pushing forward. We have the blood of Jesus that we apply as we're pushing into prayer. We know that we have worship. We have the word of God. All these are very significant to our walk, to our prayer in the Lord. But one of the biggest tools, I think, and one of the, well, in some areas, one of the most neglected tools is fasting. So I thought we could have a little chat about fasting as part of spiritual warfare. We know for sure that when Jesus spoke about it, and that's in Matthew 6, 16 to 18, He said that when you fast, don't put on a sad face. Don't make it apparent to the entire world that you are fasting. You want to tell them, you want to show that you're fasting. He says, no. Just go about your daily business. Do your hair, wash your face, carry on with your business, and don't tell anyone unnecessarily that you're fasting. It's just your normal Christian walk. He didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing somewhat, but that's what he meant, basically. So the points we get from the scripture, let me just read it. Maybe I want to read it. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So we can gather a couple of points from that. A, don't make it apparent to the entire world that you're fasting. Just get on with it. Just do it. And B, when you fast. So if you fast, it's when you fast. So therefore, it's just according to Jesus, he talks about when you pray, when you give alms to the poor, when you fast. It's just as you're walking along in our normal Christian lives, this is part of our walk. It's just who we are. So we don't have to wait for a special occasion. We don't have to wait for this amazing unction. We just fast. If God brings something on our mind, we fast, we pray. And so I want to have a look at how fasting plays its part in spiritual warfare. It says in Matthew 17:21 that certain evil spirits don't come out but by prayer and fasting. I know some manuscripts don't want to add that in, but if you look at it overall, and the principle of it is there in Scripture, that certain demonic spirits, evil spirits, will not come out but by prayer and by fasting. So fasting applies pressure in the spiritual world. I think we need to realize that it's something, it's a tool we can use to pressure the spiritual world. Now, when we're talking about walking in the spirit, we're talking about spiritual things. So therefore our tools, our weapons must be spiritual. There's no way that, you know, if we're talking about everyday warfare of the armies of today, they will use their whatever they call SA-80s or whatever, as their firepower. Our firepower is prayer and fasting, part of it. That's part of it. It's not the whole of it, but that's part of it. And they're very lethal bullets into the spiritual world when we are fasting with purpose, with plan, knowing that we are not twisting God's arm. Of course, we know that. We are being aligned with God's spiritual purposes for us and for what he wants to do in this particular situation that we are fasting for. So what we do, we look to God for the direction. We look to God for what he wants to do. And then we use the prayer. We use the worship. We use the name of Jesus. We use the blood of Jesus. And we also use fasting as well as the word of God. So the question remains, why don't we fast? Now, we may do individually. We may do that. But it may be every now and again, here and there. I remember years ago, in fact, many years ago, I used to fast a lot. I've done the long fasts. I've done the 21-day fasts. I've done that. But I've noticed with myself, the last few years, I fast occasionally. And I haven't, and I thought, why don't I? What's my problem? And when I thought about it, I thought, sometimes one thing with me anyway is that, oh, I hope I don't fall. I hope I don't fail. And then I've not completed my fast. And that's put a bit of a brakes on me, as it were. So for me, I don't know if it's the same for you, sometimes fear of failure or fear of not completing it altogether could be part of why I don't fast as regularly as I used to. Something that's maybe crept up on me and I didn't realize it. When I think back, I was very single-minded, but I'm talking about some years ago, which I maybe have lost the edge a little bit. And now God is provoking me to become more focused again. Sometimes it's the whole thing, and the enemy, of course, the enemy convinces us that we can't do it. We have to recognize the enemy when the enemy is pointing, you know, really confusing us or speaking words into our heart that says, well, you know, you didn't do so well last time. Are you going to do any better this time? And we have to recognize a voice for what it is and make a stand against it. And look, if we fall and we're not, you know, we are flesh and blood, we're never going to have complete victory over flesh, but that doesn't mean to say we don't press in. We don't press in. And I just feel of the recently, and I'm sure the speaking in tongues over the past more than a year now has played its part, that I feel we've got to pick this up once more. And to make sure, let's just be clear, fasting is doing without food. You know, I've heard of late sometimes that people say, well, you don't eat your chocolate, maybe you fast a TV program, so on and so forth. Let me say now, no. Okay? According to scripture, fasting is no food for a specific purpose of seeking God. Not to lose weight, but for seeking God. That's why we are fasting, when we're really pressing in the Spirit of the Lord. Another reason that we don't fast now, like perhaps we used to, we did in years past, sometimes Christians just haven't been taught about fasting and the real power that it there is in fasting. I remember breaking through. I remember doing that in years gone by. I'm ashamed to say. But, you know, in years, I remember breaking through when I'd been fasting and fasting, and there was a real breakthrough in the Spirit of God. But, you know, the enemy comes and tries to, you know, entice us away, or just brings other things, or we become distracted, or we become very busy, or we lose our edge. And I want to stir us up again to say, it's time to take up this weapon once again. And, you know, there are many, I remember this, you know, people saying that maybe one of the reasons we don't fast is that not because we're so full of God, not for that reason, but we've nibbled too much at the world. We've become too complacent. We've become too back in our own little, it's all okay, our own bubbles. And we haven't realized that actually, in order to break through in some circumstances, when there's a resistance that won't go away, we need to fast. We need to take up this weapon once again. And maybe for some people, it's just plain rebellion. I don't want to fast. Thank you very much. I don't want to. Well, maybe God can change our minds. Maybe God can say there is a place for it. How we fast is between us and the Lord, really. For how long we fast is between us and the Lord. There's no rule. There's no thing you must do this way, because that's not the way the Lord works. We decide with the Holy Spirit how long and how to fast. Some people do partial fast. Some people do liquid fast. Some people do full fast. And it's up to us to settle in our hearts how we're going to fast. But it certainly involves no food. That's one thing. You know, there is a, when we sort of think, I don't want to fast, we have to realize, what voice are we listening to? Who is speaking here? Is it the voice of self? Is it the voice of just, you know, that old man in us that wants to dig in our heels and say, well, you know, I don't want to do this. But if we're listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, we maybe need to take it up again. And I'm encouraging us to take it up again. I'm encouraging me to take it up again. We're all in the same boat. We're not teaching perfectionism, okay? We're not teaching a religion of works. No, that's not what it's about. But it's a discipline that leads to godliness. It's a discipline that God has given all of us. It's available to all of us, that we can take up and we can apply it and we can do it before the Lord. The length of the fast, I don't think matters. It's that we're doing something to God, in his power, in his strength, and he is our help. I think it's important to know that we need to put back into place these spiritual disciplines that have, certainly maybe in the United Kingdom, I can't talk for anywhere else, obviously, but because we're so at ease in Zion, for the most part, you know, we don't lack the physical comforts in this nation, for the most part. I know there are some people who really struggle, but generally speaking, we are well covered. And consequently, we don't see the need to fast. It's the sharp edge of our walk with God has become blunted, because we are well satisfied. We want for nothing. When we compare ourselves to the vast majority, actually, of the world, we are very, very well cared for, comfortable, and have all that we need. But it comes it comes with a blunting of the sharp edge. So we have to know that in order to do it, we need to make up our minds. This is what we are going to be pressing into. And if you consider also that how many of us are waiting for God to do something? How many of us have promises God has spoken to us? How many of us have some godly desires, godly ambition, godly things that we want that God has spoken to us, but as yet it hasn't come to pass? How many of us are maybe battling with some things of the flesh that we need to get the victory over? How many of us are just have just become like, you know, a bit dull and need to be sharpened once again? And these are all things that we can press into God with. Take it up and make it a mission, personal mission. And I believe God's going to make it a corporate mission where as a body, we can fast together. Those who are willing, obviously, those who want to join in, fast together so that we can push back the works of darkness, so that we can see believers coming in or people who, potential believers coming in. And this is the work of the Spirit of the Lord that we need to partner with. When God gives a prophetic word, it's not for us to sit back and just listen to it and say, God's going to do it. We can do that, but how many of us have done that and it doesn't happen? We need to get a hold of that word. Get a hold of what the Spirit of God is speaking to us individually and as a corporate body and start pressing in. We can't expect, if we expect nothing, we will get nothing. If we're just complacent in where we're at, that's all we'll get. But we need to take up the words God has given us. Say an early morning prayer, for instance. We've had lots, and we do pray. We do pray those words in. But nevertheless, we need to be pressing in even more and more. If God has said that this whole estate is for us, well, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit? We need to actually be active, and fasting is part of that activity where we take it up and we say, Lord, you have said this to us. This is the dreams you've given. This is the prophetic words you've given. This is what your Spirit is saying to us as believers. Then do it, Lord. And Lord, we want to see it now. We want to see it now, Lord. You know, God is, faith is for now. Today. Today is the day. Don't harden our hearts if God speaks to us today, because today is the day of salvation. And we need to take that up and start pressing into God and start declaring his word and start looking to him with faith, with expectation that God is going to be doing something in our midst, not just sitting and saying it will happen. No, it won't. We have to be God's hands, his feet, his voice, any way that he wants us to do, wants us to reach people in this whole area. We have to move with the Holy Spirit. We are co-workers with Jesus into any area that he's given us to minister. We are co-workers with Jesus. And so therefore we need to work. We need to get up and work and really, you know, there's that whole scripture that I never remember where it is, but that scripture that says that I paraphrase it, that people take by violence. The violent take it by force. Yes. And of course, it's talking about prayer. We're not talking about physical violence. We're talking about, we've got to get serious about the kingdom of God. This is our calling. And therefore, we cannot just sit and say, oh, God's going to do it. Yes, he's going to do it. We know for sure it's by the inspiration of God. He does the work. He inspires people. But we have our part to play. And therefore, we need to be doing our part and God does his part. So I am, So whatever we're looking to God for is what we will get. If we're not looking for anything, we won't get anything. It works like that, doesn't it? We get what we look to God for. And so we need to press in. You, all of us here, we're only few, but God's hand chosen all of us to be here today. Because I said to God, bring in those people you want to be here today. And here we are. So friends, we're going to be fasting, aren't we? By God's grace. And look, it's not easy. Look, I'm not going to say to you it's easy. We all know fasting, none of us like it, okay? The flesh does not like to fast. But it's worth the pressing in. Because in the pressing in, God is doing something in our own hearts and lives, and we see the result of it come to pass before us. It's worth pressing in. It's worth the temporary discomfort, the temporary struggle, the temporary discipline. It's worth it because we see God at work in our midst. And again, it's by His Spirit. So we're leaning on Him. We're putting down the flesh. Because what we feed, talking of feeding, what we feed is what we will see. If we're going to sow to the flesh, we're going to feed the flesh. Well, you know, that'll bear its fruit. If we sow to the Spirit, that'll bear His fruit as well. So we the whole thing of walking in spiritual warfare, as fasting as one of our tools, I think we need to once again, into my own heart, we take it up and we start to apply it. So we all fall short. We're not saying that it's perfection all the way, because none of us are like that. But if we fall short, we just say, Lord, I'm sorry about this. I've messed this up a bit. So, Lord, would you forgive me? You get it up and you carry on. You don't have to make a song and dance about it. You don't have to be, you know, oh, woe is me. No, you just get up and you carry on with your fast until you come to what you believe, what God has put on your heart, is the completion. And so we can encourage each other, can't we? We can encourage each other because we're all the same. We're all weak. We're all frail. We all need help. So let's encourage one another in the faith as we press into Him through fasting. So let's just see what we can, some of the things that the Word of God encourages us. So we can see, we know that if we do fast, we might just get the odd headache. We might just, feel tired, but that's okay. You're not going to die, all right? You'll be fine. So we just carry on. We know this is temporary, and plenty of water. You'll be fine. that's my thing for everything. So we say that fasting is going without food for the purpose of seeking God so as to advance His kingdom, to push back the powers of darkness, to heal the sick, to deliver the oppressed, to raise the dead, and proclaim the good news about what God has done in Jesus Christ. Fasting prepares us for our destiny as well. It's one of the things, it's not the only thing, but it helps as we start pressing into, what is my destiny, Lord? What is the destiny of this community church? God has a calling on us. So therefore, we need to find out what it is. We need to find out what is the destiny. Now, we know we're to reach out to the lost. I mean, we all know that. But is there a special calling? Is there something God wants that we have a flavor of in this community church? We need to ask God if that is so. And press into Him and seek His face so that we know it, and seek it until we find Him. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. God doesn't hide. He doesn't hide. But if you're casual, if we are casual, all of us, casual about seeking God, well, we don't find Him, do we? We've got to be determined and focused and pressing in, and don't let go. Be determined until we find Him. And He's there and He's waiting. And if He backs away a little bit, it's only because He wants us to advance in our seeking Him. He wants us to press in more to who He is. And, you know, when we receive, as we have various prophetic words or dreams, we've had the last couple of weeks from John, and maybe more, another one today that he'll share with us. We need to take this seriously. If God is speaking through a dream, we don't just say, oh, that was such a good dream. We've got to say, God, what do we do? We have to be doers of the word, as you prayed, Hilary, not just hearers. If we're just hearers, nothing changes. Nothing changes. We, in order for something to change, we have to do something different. And so therefore, I'm encouraging us, maybe one difference that we can do is ask God, when must I fast? How do you want me to fast? It'll probably be different for all of us. That doesn't matter. That's quite fine. But as long as we have a determination to seek God, I've had it on my heart when I was praying about this. I want to ask God for 10 people, some of them established believers, some of them new believers, to come into Oasis and be part of this fellowship. And I'm asking God within the month of February, by the end of February, Lord, can we have 10 new people? I mean, we may know them, but maybe they've never been part, or maybe they'll be returning. I don't know. But people who are not here on a regular basis now. And I'm asking, Lord, let it be a mixture of established believers, because we need established believers. We need people who know the word and who minister in the Holy Spirit and all these things. We need these people, but we also want new faces, new believers. That is the goal for me. And may I encourage you for February. I would like us, those who want to join every Tuesday in fasting and prayer for new people, 10 people, Lord, to come in to our fellowship in February. By the end of February, Lord, we must be 10 people more. That's my goal, asking God. And if you would like to join me, that would be wonderful. On a Tuesday, fast and pray and say, God, we need to grow. We must grow. It's wonderful to have who we are, all of us, when we hear committed believers, praise God. But there is a whole, you know, a huge estate out there of people who, for the most part, don't know God. If they know him, they may, maybe some of them are backslidden. I don't know. God knows. But we want them in here. We want them as part of the kingdom of God in an active, committed way. So we don't just want any old. We want people who are active, committed, and willing to move forward in God. And so this is my prayer for us in February. So while I'm thinking about words, maybe John wants to share his dream that he had. Now, I know we've had like one a week, haven't we, for the last 3 weeks. It doesn't normally, I mean, we don't normally have this, but God somehow has given us, or given John, and us through John, these dreams that he wants to activate us. They're here so that we are activated and moving forward. We put into place things that need to be put into place so that when the people come, and remember the bees are coming, so we need to do what we need to do. Here we are. John, do you want to come?
Just one thought I had. I wondered if it was God's encouragement and his grace bringing in fasting February, with it being the shortest month. Well, last week, Akin said, what was it exactly you said, Akin, to me about dreams? One every week. Yeah. So I think the Holy Spirit must have heard Akin last week, and this is the third in a row that I've dreamt, which seemed relevant. So I think after this, I get a bonus point. It was during the week, being a retired builder, it was me in that situation. I was a retired builder, and this active builder said, could I give him a hand with some of the work he had on? And so I did, and I went to his office, and he had one particular job on, and he said he had to order 40 cubic meters of concrete. And that's a lot of concrete. That's about 8 lorry loads, 5 cubic meters in a lorry. And so he ordered that and it was going to be delivered that day. So he and I then got in his car. We went to the house, which was the where the job was, and he'd been doing some alterations to the inside of this house. And so one of his chaps came out to speak to him, and it seemed as he was his foreman. And the builder had said to me he had 3 blokes on this job. And I thought, wow, they're going to be busy shoveling 40 cubic meters of concrete. So anyway, the foreman came out, and I thought, well, they've got to get moving because concrete could be following us up the road. But anyway, they just started chatting about, did you have a good sleep last night, and where do you think you might go on holiday? And it was nothing to do with work. So I said to the foreman, I said, I'll just pop in and see what the situation is inside. So I went in, and there were 3 rooms that were prepared for concrete. And what we do is, if there's 4 inches of concrete going in, there's reinforcing steel goes in the middle. So we do 2-inch cubes of a mix, and then little bits of wire in them, and they're wired underneath the steel mat to hold it up from the base, so that 2 inches of concrete goes underneath that and 2 inches on top. They were all set out like that, all 3 of them, but on top of the reinforcing mat, there was clothing, there was bedding, there were quilts, all sorts of things. So it seemed to me that the 3 chaps had been sleeping there overnight. And in fact, I fleetingly saw the lady, owner of the house, and I just got the impression that this chap was only awake because she had woken him up. And I didn't see the other 2 chaps. And I thought, this is ridiculous. They're not ready. So I was going to go out and say to the builder exactly that situation. All this bedding and clothing and everything's got to be stripped off the floors. Where are your other 2 chaps? What's the situation with regard to the concrete? Can the lorry driver put the chute straight into each room? Or does he have to leave it outside in a big heap and they've got to wheelbarrow it in, which is going to take forever? But the thing was that they weren't ready. And I think this was the message from this dream, that we've got to be ready. We've had these dreams the last couple of weeks, and it's just a matter of exactly that, realizing what has to be done, and we've just got to be ready for what's liable to be happening. Winsome has had the idea of a children's church, and she and Rosemary have been already preparing the small hall for it, and there are no children yet, but the bees are on their way, aren't they? Winsome's had the idea of getting prepared, and it was just, I think with this dream, it was just that. We've got to be prepared. We mustn't be caught not unprepared. That was it. So, yeah.
Thank you, John. Very profound, I thought. We need to examine what we have here, what we need to do. Literally, if we get people in, for instance, you're going to get families in, some of them maybe young families with young children, maybe the mums and the tots, maybe the older people, the teenagers, we've got a lot to fast about, a lot to pray about. We need to be saying, what do we have to do? What must we set in place? So when people come in, the systems are already there. That's why we need all those, all of us, what is our gifting? What is our calling? Let's be moving in that area so that things are sorted now. And by faith, God's going to send people in. But we, if they came in now, right now, well, we're lacking, aren't we? We're lacking in certain systems. We're lacking in things that need to be already sorted. So this is what we could also focus on when we pray on Tuesdays, especially Tuesdays as well as other times. Pray and fast. Show us, Lord, what we must actually have in place so that we are not caught napping, as it were. We are not unprepared for when we have people coming into our fellowship to join us. Amen. Come. Thanks, Ayola.
Thank you very much. I think that message, Rosemary, was necessary, profound, and appropriate in timing for us as a church, locally and wider to the many things that we are sort of plugged into, that we have accepted as God's mandate for us. And I want to thank John for his bringing the word that dream. I just think it's so apparent that in a way you, when you're walking in faith, you do things. It's a bit like Noah's Ark. You know, there was no rain, nothing was happening, but actually they had to start building the ark because it wasn't going to be done overnight. And some accounts suggest that it took years to build. I mean, could you imagine how it would have been so ridiculous to have started building an ark that took many years about and something to do with rain? And I heard again that actually never seen rain like that before either. So it is a walk of faith. Is basically what I'm saying. We're praying in faith. We walk in faith, which is doing things that might seem out of the ordinary, but that's preparation, because it's not when the children come or the troubled people come that we sort of all of a sudden think we're going to spring into action. It won't happen. So thank you for that. That's, I think, very pertinent and important. And as Rosemary was preaching, a song came into my heart, and it was New Wine. So I wondered whether once everybody who wants to mention or feel led to bring anything, we could just go out on that song, just meditating on it, and let God do what is necessary in our lives to be, bring forth that new wine. Praise God.
Okay, but then, followed by that. Let's just pray. Let's just pray and ask God, Lord, let us lean on you like we've never leant on you before. Let us look to you for your strength as we go. I mean, fasting February, I'm sure you'll call us to fasting beyond February, but this is the month that God laid on my heart when I was seeking him over the Christmas break. He said to me, fast in February. And so let's just, if we haven't done it for a long time, let's come anew and afresh to God and say, Lord, will you show me how to fast? So let's just pray now. So Father, we want to commit February to you, not just us who are here, but especially us, because you have brought us to hear this message. But Lord, all of us, maybe online, Lord, all of us in Oasis, that we look afresh at fasting And Lord, what we knew before, let us, if we have to lay some of it down, let us do that. Let us just look to you to be our help, our strength, everything that we need to complete this month, so that by the end of the month, Lord, we can see victory. We can see victory, Lord. And Father, we are committing to you and asking you for 10 new people to come during the month of February. This is our heart, Lord. You're a God who hears the specific. And so we're asking specific things for you, from you, Lord, that you would grant us our prayer, and that these will be people who are the building blocks of the next people who come in, so that we can build and grow stronger and stronger. And our heart is to say, Lord, what do we have to do to set in place the structures or the atmosphere or the whatever your spirit wants us to do, so that we are on our tiptoes and ready with everything in place, Lord. So we're asking for your help. We're asking for your vision. We're asking, Lord, that you impart to all of us, those here, those not here, especially to our pastors, Graham and Tamsin, Lord, impart to all of us what you want us to be doing and setting in place as we prepare for the bees coming. Thank you, Father. Amen.